everyone, Rob here from the Snapcast with Jerry yet again.
Hey guys, what up?
And today we're going to learn you something on Storm for our 12 combos of Modern. So Storm has been around for quite a while, and it has actually been the reasoning for a lot of cards being banned. When they should have probably just gotten rid of the mechanic Storm itself, they decided to get rid of other cards that could probably still be around and maybe get banned for a different reason later. Because we did it one time, Jerry. What was it, about three or four cards total that are banned because of Storm?
I think it's a few more than that, but yeah, we're in that ballpark.
Yeah, it's a significant number, but it's okay. We want to keep Storm alive. And as we saw, they are willing to reprint the occasional card with Storm on it, the last one being Weather the Storm, which I believe came out in Modern Horizons.
And that turned around and broke Pauper.
That it did.
So it's like, go figure. You can't, like, so I made an argument a few years ago, kind of off tangent here, and I still hold true to this argument today, that there are just certain mechanics in Magic to where instead of banning individual cards and teasing us on the mechanic, just ban the mechanic altogether. Because those other cards are like, Dredge is the problem, not Faithless Looting. Faithless Looting could exist in a non-Dredge world, if that makes sense to you.
Yes.
Instead, here we are, where Dredge is now still a tier 1 deck, because we just printed alternatives to the Faithless Loot. But other decks get punished for it anyways. I've never been a fan of that, but here we are. Like, Storm is a deck that's the biggest offender in that. Like, Storm is the reason why Ponder Preordain got banned, on top of Seething Song and Jataxian Probe.
So what is this Storm mechanic then? How is it that it's caused so many cards to get banned? What is it that's backbreaking about Storm?
Well, it's not that it's backbreaking, it's the way that games play. When you play, Storm says when you play this spell, copy it for each spell you played before. Copy it for each spell played before this turn. This includes your opponent's spells. You may choose new targets for the copies. So what winds up happening is this incentivizes you to play as many spells as humanly possible, or I guess in this case, as magically possible, in your game. This can lead to 15 to 20 minute turns on the rare occasion. That is not healthy for the game. I mean, that's why we saw Second Sunrise get banned, and that's why we saw KCI get banned, where those decks always did it. Storm doesn't always lead to it, but it sometimes does. Back in Onslaught, when the Storm mechanic was first introduced, Mind's Desire is the card that always did wind up doing that the turns. So they banned Mind's Desire from Legacy and Standard and Extended. Like that's gone. But here we are. We still have Storm cards because of Time Spiral. Instead of them being blue and black, they got color shifted into red.
And what was that card? What is the champion card, I would say, that, or the two cards, really? Because both cards in this Storm list are red.
Well, I've also seen there's another card I'll also mention here. But the first one, the big one, is Grape Shot. Grape Shot is one in a red. Deals one damage to target creature or player, Storm. So this is the premier way that most Storm decks have won in Modern. You also have Empty the Warrens, three in a red. Put 2/1/1 red goblin creature tokens onto the battlefield, Storm. So, you know, you can make 20-something goblins, and your opponent's dead on the next turn if they can't answer that. Okay. Other red Storm cards that have been played lots of. Back in Extended and Standard, we had Dragon Storm, eight in a red. Search your library for a dragon card and put it onto the battlefield, Storm. And you would find in the Standard deck it was 4 Bogarden Hellkites. You'd slam them, they take 20 damage, the game is over. Pretty standard stuff. Another one that's been played quite a bit, this one's more of a sideboard piece, but sometimes gets played in a world where like Tron is the best deck. Ignite Memories, 4 in a red. Target player reveals a card from their hand, they take damage equal to its mana cost, Storm. Those are the quintessential cards that do it. The question is how do we win with Storm, and how are we able to amass this amount of spells? So you have to, when talking about Modern Storm through the ages, you have to talk about what was legal at the time and what people were doing in conjunction with that. Like, for example, when Rite of Flame and Seething Song were legal on the onset of Modern, you were playing a card called Pyromancer Swath, which was 2 in a red. At the end of your turn, you have to discard your hand, and then whenever a spell deals damage to a player, it deals 2 additional damage. So you would have a hand where you'd like Rite of Flame, Seething Song, Mana Morphose, Rite of Flame, Swath, Grape Shot, and that's 21 damage. Pretty quick, pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
That's why Rite of Flame got banned. then that got banned. People ended up picking up on, since Swath got turned down quite a bit, you couldn't do that consistently. They switched to Pyromancer's Ascension with the newly printed Jataxian Probe. Pyromancer's Ascension is part of a cycle of enchantments from original Zendikar. And it's a one in a red, and it says whenever you cast an instant or sorcery that you have a copy of in your graveyard, you may put a quest counter on this. When it has two quest counters, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you may copy that spell. Now, the copies don't go towards the casting for copied spells for your Empty the Warrens or your Grape Shots, but it does add obscene amounts of mana. Like, you'd pay 2 red for your Pyretic Ritual, and it would net gain you 4 red mana. You're going to win at that point. Or a single Gitaxian Probe is pay 2 life, draw 2 cards. So you could easily rip and chain through your deck in those days. Well, then, eventually, Seething Song would get banned, and then they had to find another way to win. But then Past in Flames would get printed in the original Innistrad set, where Past in Flames is a fixed, I say that with quotes, it's a fixed Yawgmoth's Will. 3 in a red, each instant sorcery card in your graveyard gains flashback until end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost. This kept the Pyromancer's Ascension thing going, because now you wanted to put cards in your graveyard because you could flash them all back and do it all over again. Eventually, this would lead to the Gitaxian Probe ban, partially because of Storm, partially because of Infect. So then they lost their massive spells, so they had to pull out of the Pyromancer's Ascension build, and then they would eventually get Goblin Electromancer and Barrel Chief of Compliance. Now we have a mass of creatures that allow our spells to all cost one less, so our Desperate Rituals, Pyretic Rituals, are now just Red Dark Rituals in Modern.
Yep. And that's where we get our mana from, is our rituals, that being Pyretic and Desperate Ritual. And an interesting thing to a Desperate Ritual is it's rarely seen, but sometimes you may actually see it happen. And that is the splice into Arcane mechanic with Desperate Ritual, because it is an instant Arcane. And so if they have multiples of these in hand and they're able to, what the splice into Arcane does is as you cast an Arcane spell, you may reveal this card from your hand and pay its splice cost. If you do, add this card's effect to that spell. So for an extra 2 mana, your Desperate Ritual now is add 6 mana instead of add 3 mana, and they're able to abuse that to, again, just continue to ramp up the amount of mana they have. And eventually, they want to get their mana fixed with a Metamorphosis or add a blue and cast Gifts Ungiven. And this is the biggest card here in the deck, because this is how they're going to find their win con to beat you. Otherwise, it's like kind of cantripping, drawing cards, generating a bunch of mana, possibly recasting spells out of their graveyard until they get Gifts Ungiven.
Correct. I'm going to take over here, Rob, because I got a story about Gifts Ungiven here.
Go for it.
Or the specifics on it. So Gifts Ungiven technology, Gifts Ungiven has been in Modern since the inception, but it was discovered during Eldrazi Winter, specifically at GP Detroit, where I went and played Eldrazi like a heathen, and Alex played Ad Nauseam. He took my Ad Nauseam foil list and had fun. He lost. I lost on a day two winning in to this Storm player specifically, because he was down to me, but then he went on a 6-0 tear and then slid into the top 8 on a 8th place and then won the top 8. The Gifts Ungiven technology originally was used in control shells as a way to grab, like, the most original one in Modern was you Gifts Ungiven for Life from the Loam, Urborg Tomb of Yawgmoth, Ghost Quarter, and Raven's Crime. This would allow you to Raven's Crime an opponent 3 times every turn until they were just degenerately pushed out of a game. Then Unburial Rites got printed, and the way Gifts Ungiven reads is that if you find just a creature and Unburial Rites, they both go to the graveyard, and then on your turn you can flashback Unburial Rites for your super awesome creature. In Gifts Ungiven Storm, what you wind up doing is, because you have so much redundancy and so many cards with different names, that when you do the Gifts Ungiven thing and leave 2 mana floating, you grab a Pyretic Ritual, Desperate Ritual, Mana Morphos, and a Past in Flames. Your opponent gets to decide what 2 cards go to the grave, but it does not matter what they choose. You will be able to continue doing your thing.
And that's the biggest thing. And it's very difficult to combat it. You need to have some kind of graveyard removal in the form of like Surgical Extraction. You need to have a way to ensure that they're going to fizzle. But 9 times out of 10, that Gifts resolves, you're probably going to lose.
Yeah. Now, the reason why Storm is on the downtick is because the main board leyline of Sanctity Quotient is extremely high because of Oops All spells. Gifts Ungiven does target a player. And, I mean, it has to target an opponent. So if they're an Oops player and they just drop a leyline, you can't win with Gifts Ungiven. You have to go into the old school route of Baral, Goblin, Electromancer, chain off a bunch of spells and do a thing. So say you can't do that. The other way to win is with like a Past Unflames. You get to reload on your rituals. You have like 8 more spells casted, and you have enough mana. You typically will do. You'll typically cast a Grapeshot, and then you'll remand the original copy of Grapeshot to your hand. All the Storm triggers are on the stack, so they'll take like 8 damage or something like that. You get it back, and then you cast Grapeshot again to make them take 10.
And Modern 18 damage, almost every lethal. Game is lethal. Like,
and those numbers were arbitrary. It can be higher, right. Especially in games where you know Leyline is coming in. It's got a good caveat where we flip over to the sideboard here. One of the important sideboard pieces that was discovered back in Shadows over Innistrad was Pieces of the Puzzle. It's a 2 and a blue. Reveal the top 5 cards of your library. Put up to 2 instant or sorcery cards from among them into your hand and the rest in your graveyard. So you get to choose the cards, and it allows you to continue this chain of just casting spells off the top of your deck to get around the Leyline of Sanctity, which they used to hit both your Grapeshot and your Gifts Ungiven, if you will.
Yes.
Other typical suspects you'll see. You'll see some combination of red removal, Flame Slash, Lightning Bolt, Abrade, and Magmatic Sinkhole to deal with problematic creatures. Abrade also deals with problematic artifacts such as Chalice of the Void or Trinisphere. This list particularly we're looking at doesn't have the typical, like, usual bunch of one-ofs you use to then use Gifts Ungiven to find specific cards. But, like, Storm, historically, up until now at least, with its new edition of Boil on the sideboard, get to that in a minute, was using a copy of Shattering Spree, as that is a way to get around Chalice of the Void at the cheapest amount of mana possible, and it can also just destroy multiple artifacts in a pinch, give or take your matchup. Mystical Dispute, obviously being placed in it, we're in a blue deck, you want to play the blue card. Some versions of Storm do splash green for Veil of Summer to give you the option at silencing and counterspelling opponents, and almost all the versions of Storm now are now doing the Boil thing, where you take a Riverglide Pathway and add that to the deck, and you ditch the Fetch Shock mana base altogether.
Yeah, it's they'll refer to it as Fetchless Storm, and definitely Fetchless Storm is the better of the Storms, because like what Jerry was just saying here, it allows you to run Boil because of your non-island dual lands that you get that can still allow you to win on that turn 3 or turn 4.
Correct. New cards added to the deck since the newest piece of technology is Cylon-D Vision from Zendikar Rising. It's an uncommon, 2 and a blue, instant. Look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may reveal an instant or sorcery card from among them, put it in your hand, put the rest in the bottom of your library in any order. Storm has run Peer Through Depths in the past, and there's always been kind of room for it, kind of not, but now we have a Peer Through Depths with a land half on the back of it where it's a tapped blue source when you need it to be.
Yep.
Perfect for the deck.
How would you rate this on a difficulty scale?
This is a 10.
It's like, not an easy deck to pick up in pilot.
No. You have to goldfish with this a bunch to understand the different lines you can have. There is an automatic 3. I call it the automatic 3 in the difficulty scale, because if you have this going, you just win the game. And I'll tell you the line right now. So turn 2, you play turn 3, you can play a mana creature. And this is assuming you hit all 3 of your land drops on time. Play your mana creature, and you follow it up with Pyretic Ritual, Desperate Ritual, into Mana Morphos, into Gifts Ungiven. Gifts Ungiven find 2 off-named rituals, Mana Morphos, Past in Flames. This allows you to Past in Flames to rebuy all of those rituals. That's about six spells right there. Plus the 2 copies of Mana Morphos are now going to draw you 2 additional cards, generate more mana, add 2 more spells. At this point, you've added 14 spells to the stack. When you Gifts Ungiven again out of your graveyard for flashback, you're going to grab a Past in Flames, a Grapeshot, a Mana Ritual, and you can't lose.
And it's identifying that route and how to go through it. And that there are a couple people who have just mastered Storm, and you know, sitting across from them, it's like, yep, okay. Like Caleb. Caleb was a very strong Storm player. And everyone knew that you're going against Caleb Scherer, you're going to be going against Storm. Almost.
Or Bryant Cook in Legacy.
Yep. There's just those few. So what are we looking for then in an opener? What are the big things that we need to keep a hand?
This hand has so much redundancy in it that you can almost keep just about any hand as long as you have lands and spells.
Yep. Big thing is you want to be able to cantrip early or at least have that turn to mana creature down so that your instants and sorceries cost one spell less.
Well, here's the difficulty in the deck. You don't want to drop the mana creature until you can win the game.
Gotcha.
I mean, and then there's matchup dependent, obviously. If your opponent's playing like Ad Nauseam, drop the mana creature on turn two.
Yep.
That's free. That's matchup dependent. If your opponent's playing humans, drop the mana creature on turn two. You kind of need it.
Yeah.
They only have a couple answers to it in the main board. But like you're playing against like a Jund, you're never going to play the mana creature.
Yeah.
Like you're going to play it until you try to go off and you'll do a pseudo storm. That's the other thing you have to be able to identify is can you do a half storm where you do partial damage and then hold back resources and continue later? You have to be able to identify those routes too. And that's where this is like a solid 10 on the difficulty scale.
And it's not an instant speed win either. This is sorcery speed win.
Nope, this is truly a sorcery speed win. The legacy version of this deck is easier to play than the modern version. Put it that way.
All right. Well, that's Gift Storm, if you will. Now, we did have another Storm list pop up about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And we're going to touch on this just very briefly. This came about thanks to Core 20. We got a beautiful land printed called Lotus Field. And people were able to break this with Twiddle Storm. And this deck gets its name because of the card Twiddle, which for one blue, you may untap any one land, creature, or artifact in play at one blue. Your Lotus Field, it's a hexproof land. When it enters the battlefield, tap. When it enters the battlefield, you must sacrifice two lands, but you can tap to add three mana of any one color. And we're pretty much going to be doing the same thing here, chaining off a bunch of spells until we can storm up and cast a Grape Shot for lethal. But it was a neat storm deck that came about, and it rolled for a little bit because people didn't know how to beat it. Yep. And then slowly people started to figure it out. Lotus Field even saw play in Pioneer, correct?
Oh yeah, it was the best deck in Pioneer for a long time alongside a few others.
Yep. And again, just one of those incredible combos, and this was played though with Underworld Breach and the Pioneer version.
Correct. And that's how Underworld Breach got banned out of Pioneer.
Yep.
A couple of things you can point out here in the modern versions is because Twiddle had so many different variations and printings, you have a massive amount of cards to do the thing where they are all one mana to untap your land, so it net gains you two mana every time you do it. The goal you're trying to do is you use Reach Through Mists to draw a card and hold priority to then Psychic Puppetry to splice onto Arcane to net gain you mana and keep a Psychic Puppetry into your hand. This is, again, using the splice onto Arcane trick to get you going where you need to be.
Yeah, and that way there you can just continue to tap or in this case, again, we're just untapping our Lotus Fields to continue to generate that vast amount of mana, continue to cast all of our cards ever. This does have the Pass in Flames route and the Grape Shot route for the win. Very briefly, just wanted to touch on this one. I think this one is just as difficult as Storm, if not possibly a little bit more, because of all the little interactions, and you must remember your splice into Arcane, or I don't think you can really... You don't have the legs to go.
You don't have the consistency at that point. That's correct. Another card I've seen in this list is someone at my LGS played it, and they played Blood Sun in the deck, where Blood Sun's effect prevents the Lotus Field sacrificing effect. So when you play a Blood Sun, you just drop a Lotus Field, and then you just have a Black Lotus. You built your own Black Lotus.
Yep.
So that's another thing that happens. Sideboard pieces for this deck are a lot of the same suspects, but because they're playing so many cheap one-mana spells, Thing in the Ice is a popular choice. Aria of Flame is another way to get around some damage, and they do play Ad Nauseam as an alternate win condition at instant speed.
Yeah. So, very unique deck. We're not going to dive deep on this one because it pops up every once in a while and someone will get you. The last big finish it had was June of 2020 at 5-0 to League. That's the list we're looking at here. But it is something you could explore if you want to play Storm, but a little bit of a different avenue of Storm.
Yeah. You just got to be aware Blood Moon is an ultra-popular card right now. It's a main deck 4 of in the best prowess deck that has ever graced Modern. And I mean that thoroughly. Like, that is the best prowess deck ever. So you need to be able to, you need to be aware that Blood Moon is being played in higher quantities than it probably should be.
Yes. But I think that's going to do it for us here on the Storm Special. Do you have anything else to add, Jerry?
No, man. This deck is, this is a hard deck to pilot and pilot well.
Definitely
I would definitely suggest that you goldfish the hell out of this before you even try to take it to an FNM.
Yep, and get some practice matches in too. Like, if you can go to your shop, say, on a Tuesday or Wednesday evening or over the weekend, and there's guys just playing pickup games, doesn't matter what their deck is, just sit down and try to work through it. And be careful. You know, you might have to play a little slow to make sure you don't miss anything. Good tip for this too is have counters out to keep track of your mana, that being your red mana, your blue mana, and of course your storm count too. I believe now in competitive events that needs to be tracked on paper instead of with a die. I think that was like an actual rules change they made.
I know, but you could put +1/+1 counters on a creature with a dice. Go figure.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yep. And the reasoning for that is a die can get hit, and then you can't remember where it's supposed to be, whereas on paper you're keeping track, so it's a lot easier that way. That's why we keep track of like life totals written rather than with a D20 anymore. That's the reasoning they gave us. Again, it's up to the player to keep track of all of their resources, and it's up to the opponent to ensure that the that their opponent is being honest with it as well. Because that's just failure to maintain board state, and it's a dumb hit to get at an event. All right, well, that's going to do it for us on Storm. Thanks again to everyone for tuning in. We really hope that you are enjoying this. Jerry, you've been an absolute pleasure to have on all these episodes. We still got one more, then, of course, our band special we're going to be doing. We're going to be covering some of the band combos that we have seen throughout Modern. And we're not going to dive as deep as what we've been here. We're just going to talk a little bit about it, maybe 5 minutes each, and probably cover about 4 or 5 different decks. We're trying to keep these to a half hour or less. So far, we've been doing quite well. If you want to listen to our longer podcast, you can find us on iTunes, Spreaker, or Spotify. Currently, we're on like a monthly special kind of deal right now because there's not a lot really happening in the world of Modern. You can also catch us on all social media outlets, iTunes, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you like what we have to put out, be sure to tell your friends. We are still growing, trying to get that good word out there. And we have some really fun stuff planned for 2021. And we hope to have y'all with us. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening.